girded with praise. Oh, tell of
his might, oh, say of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose cattle brings praise, his chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is the fathom, the wings of the storm. A bountiful care, the tongue can recite, in raising the air, it shines in the light, it streams from
him, praise him. Would you like to stand on this song?
Praise him, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, hail him, highest our name.
Praise him, Jesus, and praise him.
Redemption. O purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. What a message. The last verse.
Our transport.
singing this unto him. I love you.
I love you, Lord.
Thank you.
seen chalk drawings, and I think probably most of you that are here this morning have seen one, though. But I know that you'll be blessed. I asked him to do one that he could do in regular light, and so he has graciously agreed to do one. And I had a story that I was going to tell, and he said, "Dad, I want to do a chalk drawing for that story," so I'll be sharing that story later on this morning. So Josh, you want to come, and let's move this table out of the way here, too, here, if we could. We are going to hope and have some special music here today, but the singer is not here, so we'll have a tape instead later on. He came with a backup, just in case. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 16. Just one verse. It's kind of a continuation of what we were talking about last week. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. You probably know this verse by heart. At least you've heard it so many times you could quote most of it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today, and we also ask your blessing upon Josh as he draws. May it be an encouragement and also a challenge to us to be what you have called us to be. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have three quotes that I'd like to read to you today. They are from people that are, I'm sure, known to some, but they are unknown as far as who gave these quotes to us. One person said, "We ought so to live Christ as to compel others to think about Christ." We ought to live Christ as to compel others to think about Christ. Salvation may come quietly, but we cannot remain quiet about it. I do not ask for mighty works to leave the crowd impressed, but grant my life may ring so true my neighbor shall be blessed. I do not ask for influence to sway the multitude. Give me a word in season for the soul in solitude. I do not ask to win the great. God grant they may be saved. Give me the broken sinner, Lord, by Satan long enslaved. Through words of wisdom and power rise easily to some. Give me a simple message, Lord, that bids the sinner come.
There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. And when I'm tossed about, it seems that the light that I might see, and the light that shines in the darkness now will safely lead us all. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship would be no more. Everybody that lives around us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use in it standing around. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, that light. On the hill.
The lighthouse today?
Probably shipwrecked somewhere on the rocks. I want to go over verse 16 a little bit there, though. Let your light so shine before men,
that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus is the lighthouse. He is the light of the world. But notice that he also commands us to be lights. Let your light so shine before men. I want you to notice today that it's the works that don't shine, the light does. The works don't shine, the light shines. We are to get people to observe our works by our witnessing Christ to others. You know, if you witness, you don't have to worry about being watched. You will be watched. Many a man has an alibi, and he says, well, I know a lot of folks who talk about Christianity that don't live it. I'll just let my life speak for itself. I think really that's error and pretense, because no one really notices your works until you begin to speak up for Jesus, and then they begin to watch you. They watch you like a hawk. And maybe that's why some people don't want to speak up for Jesus, because they're afraid their works might not match up with the walk they profess. It would be sinful for a man to do good works and then take credit for them. Our works are wrought by Christ in us through the Holy Spirit, and that's where the credit should go. The credit should go to the Lord. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, John 3:21. And Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. John Wesley said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. The good works need to be done, but good works need to be done with the right motive. There was a young student who had been evading paying court fines, and he was finally summoned to a higher court because of his neglect to pay the fines. Fearful for his freedom, he was considering committing himself to a mental institution as just another way to evade justice. But a friend encouraged him to stop running from the law and just ask the court for leniency. So the student gave it some thought, and he decided that it was better to face the music than to live with a guilty conscience for the rest of his life. Sometime later, he returned from the courts with these words, I could have kissed the judge's feet. I'd do anything for him. He didn't send me to prison as I thought. He had pity on me and showed me mercy. Now imagine if that young man would have said those things before the trial. It would have been a pathetic, despicable attempt at bribery. He would be trying to pervert the laws of justice. But because he said those words after the trial, it was merely an attitude of gratitude to the judge for his leniency. Not bribery, but gratitude. The same motive for gratitude is the Christian's reason for living a good life and for doing good works. The Christian has been shown leniency by the great God of the universe. We have been shown leniency. We have been shown mercy. We have been given grace. Because of the substitutionary death of Jesus on the cross, God has been able to show mercy to the sinner, to every sinner who comes to him in repentance. Now, I don't do good works today in an effort to bribe God to forgive me of my sins, but I do good works today because of gratitude to God, because he has already forgiven me of my sins. You see the difference? If I try to do good works to gain his forgiveness, I'm perverting his laws of justice. But if I say, thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness and your salvation, and then I desire to do good works and let other people know about him and let my light shine, I'm doing it because my heart is full of gratitude. Not bribery, but gratitude. Those accounts in the Bible that are related to the Sea of Galilee or the Mediterranean Sea may have more meaning to those who live on the shores of the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean, or maybe those that live near the Great Lakes or some other large body of water. Those who have firsthand experience on a ship or boat sing those hymns with more understanding than probably we do. Those who have had some nautical experience can relate to those songs and hymns that were written about the sea. But I want to illustrate a hymn today that should mean, I pray, almost as much to us today as it did to those who first heard it. It was a dark, stormy night, a night when the waves rolled like mountains and not a star was in the sky. A boat was rocking and plunging near the Lorraine Harbor at Cleveland, Ohio. And here is an actual account of a conversation that went on that night. "Are you sure this is Cleveland?" said the captain. "Quite sure," replied the pilot. "But where are the lower lights?" "They're out, sir." "Can you make it?" "We must, or we'll perish." Then with strong hands and a brave heart, the old pilot turned the wheel. But in the darkness, he missed the channel. And with a crash upon the rocks, the boat was slivered, and many lives were lost in a watery grave. D.L. Moody was preaching one night, and he was using the story that had first appeared in the Chicago papers. It was an actual account by the boat's captain who had somehow survived and escaped death that stormy night. And as Moody was concluding his sermon, he said, "Brethren, the master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us keep the lower lights burning." Behind the tragedy of the story of that night, or behind the tragedy of that night, is a story that was known to most of the people in the audience, a story of careless negligence. It was not intended to cause tragedy, but nonetheless, it happened anyway. George Stebbins said, "I came to Chicago in 1869. There appeared in the papers an account of a ship being wrecked on the shore of Lake Erie near Cleveland, Ohio. At Lorraine, they built a special harbor where ships could find relief from storms. They had built a channel with lights that were lit at night to guide the ships into an inner harbor. There, the ships could be safe. The man who had charge of lighting had done so for several years, yet no boats had ever come in at night. Some storms had taken place during the day, but a ship to use the harbor because of a storm at night? Never. So on this particular day, he said, well, I've done it all of these years. No boats have ever come in at night. And it doesn't look like it's going to storm this evening. And so I'm not going to light the lights tonight. But that particular night, a storm came. And the story that Mr. Moody told, the story that he gave, was exactly what happened. The ship was wrecked, and lives were lost because of the carelessness of a man who had charge of lighting the lights. P.P. Bliss was in the audience that evening. He had read the story in the paper, but when D.L. Moody was preaching, it hit him even stronger. Later, in talking to his wife, he said, sweetheart, that's a terrible tragedy that's happened. But you know, it's happening every day. We as Christians should be shining brightly for our Lord, but many times we're dim. Our testimony is completely out, and many souls on the sea of life are lost because of our negligence. I want to repeat what D.L. Moody said. God will take care of the lighthouse. God will take care of the great light, but it's up to us to keep the lower lights burning. There might be some who are in darkness, and they are looking for some kind of light. They are looking for some kind of truth, and you and I have the light, and you and I have the truth, and maybe we're the only ones that could point them safely to the harbor. Point them safely so that they don't crash on the rocks. With this story and this tragedy in mind, P.P. Bliss began writing, brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue. You may save. Dark the night of sin has settled. Loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to reach the harbor. In the darkness, may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Can we all stand? I want us to sing that hymn together today. If you don't know it, I hope you'll learn. It's not in your hymnal, but we have made up an overhead for it. Our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the lighthouse. But you and I are the lower lights along the shore. That second verse, I'm sorry, it grips me. Dark the night of sin is settled. That describes our world. Loud the angry billows roar. But here's the part that gets me. Eager eyes are watching, even longing for the lights along the shore. There are people out there that are watching for somebody to point them the way to the light. And they're eagerly searching for the truth. We have the truth. May we not hide the truth. May we not cover it with darkness. But let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not that they will see your works, but they will see the light and they'll be pointed to your heavenly Father. Father, it is our desire to be the lower lights this evening. Lord, may none crash upon the rocks and suffer fatality because of our negligence or because of our carelessness or because of our, that we're just too tired to let our light shine. But Lord, give us grace and give us strength. And we pray that many souls would reach the harbor because of the light that comes from the lighthouse and the light that we shine across the waves. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.